Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Bodybuilding Podcast with your host, Dan, the Bodybuilder from Thailand. First question from today is from David, who asks, "Dude, I think a podcast on shocking the muscles by switching rep techniques would be awesome to hear. High rep, medium weight, low rep, high weight, negatives, paused reps, etc. Does this do anything, or is it all gimmicks?" Okay, so, you know, obviously changing set and rep techniques or ranges, whatever, it's going to help you get through plateaus, okay? So that's what we use it for. So this whole thing of being like, is high rep, medium weight, or is low rep, high weight, or is, you know, whatever, you know, high intensity, is this the right way? None of those answers, you know, being like, this is the right way and the other ways are the wrong ways. That's the way that it's like framed, that you must choose one, but none of them are correct, okay? The right way is to keep on progressing in the gym. You have to be doing, you have to choose exercises, okay? And you have to be like, okay, so I'm going to get really good at these exercises so that, like, I am damn good at these exercises. I'm better than other people at these exercises. I have improved my performance on these exercises. I can do things on these exercises that I couldn't do before. Okay, this is how you get good at bodybuilding. This is how you get good at weightlifting. So let's say you picked one of the bench or one of the exercises that you pressed. Let's say it was incline dumbbell bench press, okay? So you've got to get damn good at dumbbell incline bench press in comparison to what you are now. So let's say, like, right now you do 70 pounds per hand for 5 sets of 10 reps, okay? So by whatever means necessary, you've got to increase that to 120 or 130, 150 pound dumbbells per hand, and being able to do, you know, that for 5 sets of 10 reps. So, you know, when you're going between, let's say, you know, 70 pounds dumbbells for 5 sets of 10 reps to 130 pound dumbbells for 5 sets of 10 reps, while you're on this journey to get there, you're going to utilize different sets and rep schemes to break plateaus, okay? Because if you just go, okay, well, I'm going to go, you know, 1 set to failure and, you know, try and, you know, add 5 more pounds, or, you know, add 1 more rep or something each workout, and, like, you're going to reach a plateau there doing that. And then you're going to change your rep scheme in order to help you break the plateau. Okay, so there are different methods of breaking plateaus. Usually what really works is to decrease someone's volume, or to decrease their workload, decrease the amount of strength, or the amount of fatigue that they are experiencing on a weekly basis to help them break a plateau. That's usually something that really works well to help someone break a plateau. Other ways of doing it a lot of times will be to, like, lower the reps and so that you're doing very strength-based training, and that will help get you to the next level. So the question about, like, he says high rep, medium weight, low rep, high weight, negatives, paused reps. These are all techniques to keep progressive overload going. Okay. So just remember to keep in mind that, you know, you've got to select exercises and then you have to do these exercises consistently and you have to get good at them. Okay. You cannot be, you know, maybe you were in the gym for 2 years, or maybe you were on steroids for a year or something. And then you can't keep on taking steroids or whatever and going to the gym, but not getting better at exercises, like a lot better at exercises. And then being like, why haven't I made progress? Well, it's because you haven't done shit. Actually, you've just been wasting your time. You haven't been getting good at weightlifting. You haven't been using your steroids to help you get good at weightlifting. You're just the same at weightlifting as you were. So, you know, if you're only lifting 5 more pounds on the bench press this year than you were last year, and you've been taking steroids this whole time, well, you don't have a lot of gains to show. You don't have a lot of gains to show for, you know, your steroid use for the last year and everything. So, and that doesn't matter, you know, whether you're using high reps or low reps or negatives or paused reps. The fact of the matter is that if you are not getting better at weightlifting on a consistent basis, that none of this other stuff means jack shit. All this stuff is just ways to help you get better at weightlifting. That is the big picture. And you need, like, your diet, your steroids, your training methods. What you should be asking are these things helping me get better at weightlifting? Are they helping me to be able to do performances in the gym that I could not do 1 month ago? Am I doing things this month that were impossible last month? This is the kind of thing that drives growth, okay? And we use things like high reps, medium weight, low rep, high weight, negatives, paused reps, etc., in order to be able to help us bust through plateaus and keep this gym progress going, okay? So it's not a gimmick. You know, when you ask, are those things all gimmicks or do they do anything? They do things. They're called plateau busting techniques. And so basically you want to find out, you know, a kind of workout that works good for you for just like general progress. And that's not too hard, you know, like the normal thing, like push-pull legs or upper-lower twice per week each, or push-pull legs, you know, plus a full-body workout. So those are both like 4 days per week. Or, you know, full-body workouts work good too for beginners and intermediate even sometimes too. And then also like a one-day per week body part split can also work, but you have to be serious about not working body parts more than 1 day per week if you're doing that, or else you will start overtraining if you work body parts more than one per week, if you're like, you know, doing like one body part per day, because then you're really digging into the recovery here, man. And that's the thing, is that people are not worrying enough about their recovery. You know, they're going to the gym. And are you confident when you went to the gym today that you can do more than you did last time? Because probably a lot of guys, I think they're not confident that when they go into the gym that I can do more this time than I did last time. And they probably didn't write it down either, what they did last time. So they probably can't remember what they did last time. So they don't know, you know, what they even have to do to beat it. And I think people are just going into the gym with this attitude of like, I'm going to work something. I'm gonna get a workout. I'm gonna make my shit feel worked, and then I'm, you know, with that kind of like totally like not strategic way of thinking. That then again being like, why am I not getting the gains that I'm supposed to be getting? Which again is like you're taking drugs to make your muscles bigger and everything, and you're expecting like extreme results, you know, to make you like look like a cyborg, make you look not like a normal person in this society. You can't be playing games when you have these kinds of serious goals, okay? So these kinds of serious goals, you know, are not the type of goals that people who are not, you know, like willing to do like sacrifice are going to achieve. So if your thing is like, well, I like to work out this way that I'm working out and I'm not going to change because I go to the gym because like I go to the gym because I have like need this for my mental health. And so that's my first priority is going to the gym a lot, you know, and I'm going to continue to falsely believe that, you know, overtraining and going to the gym too much is going to give me gains. And going again when I wasn't ready, when my muscle, you know, I wasn't confident that I'd be able to do more this workout than I did last time. I'm just going to the gym anyways because I feel like it and I don't like to miss days in the gym. And this is the way that I like to train because training is a hobby for me. Well, good. Like, if you're going to be like that, don't have these huge goals. Don't have these huge goals of like looking like someone who is not a member of this society, but who's a cyborg instead. Okay. So, this is an extreme thing. This is an extreme thing. My advice to you guys really is that you have got to get good at weightlifting. And I know that this is the thing that is people, you know, are not getting this. They're not getting it. They're not understanding it because every day when I go to the gym, how long have I been going to the gym? Yeah, I started, it's been about 20 years since I started going to the gym. Okay. And nothing has changed as far as I see the same people there all over the world. This is something that is all over the world. It's not just America. It's not just Europe. It's freaking everywhere. Is I see people 1 year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, 5 years later, at the same damn gym, lifting the same damn weights that they were the first day that I saw them there at that gym, man. They have not got better at weightlifting. And guess what? They look exactly the same as they looked years ago, okay? Nothing has changed. They did not get better at weightlifting. They weren't focusing on the right things. Okay? So just to sum it up, you know, what is the right training technique? You know, what should I be going Arnold style, high volume, or should I be going Dorian Yates style, low volume, high intensity? And you know, none of these answers, you know, saying like, oh, well, this is the way that you should do it. That's all wrong, okay? The way that you should do it is the way that is allowing you to continually progress and get better at weightlifting. So you're going to have to like cycle through techniques. You're going to have to use a little bit of these negatives sometimes, or use a little bit of these positive reps sometimes, or you're going to have to switch to a higher weight a lower reps, or you're going to have to do a little more higher reps with a little more lower weight. Okay. These things have to be changing. These things have to be undulating to keep you from plateauing and to break plateaus. If you just stick to one of them and you say like, well, this is the way it is, and you know, I'm a disciple of this way of weightlifting now, you're going to be shortchanging yourself because none of those is the right way. They're all methods, and the right way to get big is to get better at weightlifting. Get better. You're a lot better at weightlifting this year than you were last year. You can do a lot of things with certain weights and shit, certain amounts of resistance and different rep ranges and shit that you couldn't do 1 year ago. That was impossible a year ago. But now, because of your training, you've made yourself be able to do things that were impossible for you before. And that's why your body looks different now. And you utilized anabolic steroids and training methods and food in order to be able to make this happen, to be able to make this thing happen where now you can do things that were impossible before for you. Okay, next question. Tom asks, you ever scuffle with any Thais? Any recent travel action would be dope, man. Yeah, I'm in Thailand again right now. You know, I was in South America for a year. Now I'm in Thailand again. And the answer is no, I don't ever scuffle with any Thais. And I don't want to, for one thing. And then for the other thing is that you will get hurt badly if you do that, okay? So for one thing, Thais know Muay Thai kickboxing, and you know, a large percentage of them, almost all Thai males know Thai kickboxing. So they're all trained fighters. And so if you are interested in getting in a scuffle with them, you should ask yourself first, are you a trained fighter? Because I know some people think that, you know, obviously body weight is important for fighting, obviously. But, you know, if someone is a trained fighter and you're a lot bigger than them, but you're not a trained fighter, you know, that could, you know, make things a lot more even than they would be otherwise. And then here's the main reason why you don't want to ever scuffle or get in any fights with any Thais, is that Thais have a racial defense. Okay, so if you ever are in any kind of physical altercation with a Thai person in Thailand, every Thai person that is within hearing or visual distance will be also in that physical altercation with you, okay, fighting you, okay, because they have a racial defense mechanism where if one Thai person is being attacked by any kind of foreigner, all Thai people that are in visual or audio distance will involve themselves physically in that fight. So you could be like risking your life or something like that, you know, because you're going to get attacked by like 100 people. So, so this is a thing, you know, that you know, it happens. You see it sometimes. You see somebody make a mistake and get into a bad situation like this, and they'll get totally mauled. Doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter how strong you are. Doesn't matter how good at trained with fighting you are, man. Once you get a group of people coming onto you like that, you are done. So, you know, I would never want to have any fights with any Thais or any scuffles with any Thais. I really like Thai people. I really respect Thai people. I really respect their culture. And it's really like the exact opposite of what I want. And if I do have any problems or issues with anyone, it's always foreigners. It's always foreigners, you know, doing whatever they do back in their home, you know, disrespectful shit they're doing back in their home and then bringing it over here, you know. And you got to really respect other people's cultures, because these are ancient cultures, you know. Like, you know, we have these ancient cultures that are not our Western culture all over the world. And to just be like, oh, well, you know, my way, you know, I'm going to be like my way. And I'm just going to go just like walking all over their culture. And, you know, it's so disrespectful. And just, it's the opposite of what I'm trying to do. You know, a lot of guys that are bodybuilders or something that, you know, travel a lot and, you know, they're living all over the world or something the way I do, a lot of them are living in tourist places, you know, and a lot of them are trying to like have like some kind of big party life or something like that. Like they live in a tourist zone and it's like a constant party for them and their life or something like that, where I'm the exact opposite. I live far away from the tourist zones as possible, and I never hang out with foreigners. I only hang out with locals. And I don't want to have anything like I don't want to be involved with that kind of like stuff, like bringing over the West to Asia and then living like a Western person in Asia. I want to live like an Asian person in Asia. I want to do things their way and I want to respect their stuff. So I recognize that my attitude with all this is very different than a lot of people. So, okay. Next question. Dylan asks, question for the podcast. I'm 5'11", 220 pounds, 15% body fat. I'm on 1,000 Sustanon, 1,000 Primobolan, and 700 Winstrol per week, and sensitive to estrogen. Would it make sense to throw in 1,200 milligrams of Equipoise? I never hear of guys running cycles with Primo and Equipoise. I'm a fairly new steroid user, so my goals right now are to develop a good strength base and pack on some mass. I don't like 19 NORs, so EQ, Test and Primobolan are the only injectables I've been using. Well, at 5'11", 220, 12 to 15% body fat, and I'd want to know, like, what is your strength levels, you know? Because that would give me, like, a baseline of, like, how far along are you in weightlifting? And then, you know, 1,000 Primobolan, 1,000 Sustanon, 700 Winstrol per week, that's really effective dosages for growing muscle, okay? So that's why I want to say, before you say, you know, you want to add in another gram of steroids per week,
I'd want to, you know, because it's never like my place or anyone's place to tell you, you know, how much you should be using or how much you shouldn't be using. That's up to you. But I do want to say that you're on an effective dose already, and then I would want to see, like, how strong you are, just so I can get a feel, and maybe see your physique and see, get a feel for where's this guy at, and then I could give you better advice or better a better opinion on what I think. But equipoise is not really that effective in terms of like building muscle and burning fat or something like that, right? So it's a bit of like a cosmetic steroid a bit, and like a side effects control steroid, which is similar kind of the way that Masteron is. But it's fine. Another question you had was, is it okay to stack Primobol and Equipoise? Yes. I mean, I would probably just want to increase the Primobol though. But yeah, like you know, the Equipoise is going to decrease your estrogen, make you hungrier. It's going to have a bit of a cosmetic effect on your body. And at a high dose like that, you can even grow some muscle. Like 1,000 milligrams or so of Equipoise per week, and grow a little bit of muscle. So, yeah, I mean, because you said you wanted to develop a good strength base and pack on some mass. Like, that's what makes me a bit confused. But just know that right now, you are on a sufficient amount of gear already to be a big ass muscular dude, and then, you know, make your decisions accordingly. All right, Matt asks, what's up, my dude? Listen to your podcast all the way through at least 7 or 8 times now. That's a lot. It's cool because now I'm able to help people answer their questions about steroids and bodybuilding from the knowledge I've gained from you. Thanks, brother. My question is, I've sworn off tren because of how severe the mental side effects are for me, and I've been trying to figure out how can I achieve the tren look with other compounds. I'm all about hard and vascular muscles with high definition, you know, the look that tren creates. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, that's the thing, is that probably after the first couple of years of roids for a lot of people, that's when you'd be like, okay, I don't want to take this stuff anymore regarding trenbolone. Because, you know, trenbolone is so popular and shit now, and it's, you know, like in like popular culture even, that everyone knows what tren is. And if you start taking steroids, most people kind of like take tren now, like pretty early. But then, and usually the first couple cycles or whatever, you're like, yeah, that's just the best. This fucking rocks. And you're like, I don't get any side effects. And then, you know, after you've been taking it for a couple of years or something, then you'd be like, okay, I was in denial before, and yeah, I was getting side effects, but I didn't realize it, and stuff like that, you know, and you realize that it affects you, you know, because experienced users who are being honest about this will say things like, oh, if you deny that you're getting those effects, you're in denial, okay? So it's only amateurs and people who are in denial who are saying like, oh, you don't, trend doesn't make those side effects be more easily or make you more prone to that or something like that. That's a lie. So then the next thing that happens is you're thinking, okay, well, so I don't want to use tren, but is there any way to get this freaking steroids effects without using it? And it's tough, man. Like, there is only the only steroid that is like tren but isn't tren is Superdrol. It's the only other steroid that's going to get you strong as fuck, gaining solid muscle mass while burning fat at the same time, all at the same time. And actually, short-term, Superdrol is stronger than tren at those goals. It will produce more extreme results for about like 4 weeks. But then Superdrol is super toxic, so you got to like stop running it. And on the other hand, some people run tren like almost all the time. And so there's the difference there, is that tren can be run for longer periods of time, so it can be used more efficiently to build mass over time and for a look over time, whereas Superdraw is like, you know, you don't want to really run that for more than 5 weeks. Have I run it for more than 5 weeks? Yeah. Did it make me sick? Yeah. It made me hella sick. So Superdraw is an option. And then another option would be you got to go big. So, you could get trend results of increased strength, increased muscle mass, hard, dense muscle mass, and fat loss all at the same time by running testosterone and Primobolan each at around like 700 to 1,000 milligrams per week. And you can combine that with Anavar or Winstrol or Stack. Anavar and Winstrol Stack combined with that, the Primobolan and the testosterone, the Anavar and Winstrol, just classic dosages like 50 milligrams a day. And then growth hormone too, pharmaceutical grade growth hormone. So like 3 IUs per day or 4 IUs per day, taking like one shot or split twice per day, twice daily dose. So like basically what I'm telling you is that in order to get the results, similar results to what you'd get on like a moderate trend cycle or something, you got to take like high test, high primo, moderate Anavar, moderate growth hormone. So it's like you got to do like a lot of shit, you know, and you got to like take, like, you know, if you're not going to use trend and you're not going to use Superdraw, then if you want to get those kind of effects, then it like takes a lot, because the other roids just don't have that kind of firepower. So then you got to like take a lot of shit. But I mean, if somebody was going to run like, let's say like 750 test, 350 trend, okay, let's say that 750 test, 350 trend, how could we get similar firepower? Well, like testosterone 500 with 30 milligrams Superdraw would be fire, that would be similar firepower. Or another way that would be similar firepower would be 1,000 milligrams of testosterone, 1,000 milligrams of Primobolan, 50 milligrams of Anavar per day, and 3 IUs of growth hormone per day. All right. So that kind of like set some like rough equivalency guidelines and firepower. Next question. Shivam asks, I'm on 1,000 milligrams of testosterone enanthate. Result is amazing. The full feeling, high sex drive, good gains, hypersexuality. What else can I add for 3 months with test, which gives me fuller, hard muscle with less side effects? Listener from India. Loved your book, Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Also, running 500 IU of HCG every other day. And he says, please also guide for future fertility protocol, even if I go hard on anabolics like Tren and Superdraw. And in parentheses, he says, makes me feel like a Vegeta. what you're doing right now, running the HCG with the steroids, is good for your future fertility. You know, you can keep your testicles running while you use steroids if you use HCG at the same time. So that's what he's doing. So, you know, he probably doesn't have shrunk balls either because he's doing that with HCG, even though he's using 1,000 milligrams of testosterone. So, he says he loves 1,000 milligrams of testosterone. And I guess this question was kind of more just like him saying he's loving the gear. But he says, please guide for future fertility. So, you can go really high with HCG when it comes to fertility. And that's pretty much like the main compound that's really like going to be used aggressively for somebody with like long-term anabolic steroid-induced shutdown. HCG is a really good, it's a really good med to use. And I think it's underrated. I think it's underrated. It's like one of the best compounds in bodybuilding, in my opinion. Okay. Next question.
Eli asks, what should someone do if they are on cycle and get sick? Keep taking the gear or lay off? How long should one stop training? Love the book. When is Ultimate Guide Droids 2 coming? If you get sick on cycle, you shouldn't train, because that's going to dig into your recovery. And you want to let your body do the recovery on the illness instead of adding more with, you know, making your physical body be in a hole that it has to dig itself out of, in addition to having an illness that it has to dig itself out of. So if you get sick, stop training and resume training when you're not sick anymore. But in my opinion, it's not good to stop the steroids if someone is sick. Just, you know, my method is to keep the steroids going if somebody gets a cold or a flu or something like that, you know. And start back up when you're feeling good again. That's pretty much that. But one thing about getting sick is that if you're getting sick a lot, you got to start taking a lot of vitamin D. When you take a lot of vitamin D, you won't get sick a lot anymore. So I know that they talk about, you know, dosages like 800 IUs or like even 5,000 IUs, but I'm talking about like more than that. So I'm talking about like 10,000 IUs minimum, or like vitamin D shots, if not taking those high dose tablets. But if you do something like that, you know, like 10,000 or more IUs of vitamin D per day pills, or if you take like 300,000 IU injection of vitamin D like once or twice a month, it will really make it so that like your immune system is a lot stronger. And I know some people say like, oh, steroids make it so that your immune system is stronger, which that's not true, but some people say that, but really vitamin D is what you're looking for. Okay. If you're looking for something that really works to make your immune system stronger. Okay. Coach Dustin asks, I've gone on some pro-hormone stack cycles, DMZ, M-Sten, D-Draw, and have extreme strength gains. Yeah, so pro-hormone stack cycles, you know, that's like stacking oral steroids, you know. And so a lot of times these pro-hormones are like strong as fuck designer steroids too. So they're like really strong and a lot of times toxic. And the, you know, Superdraw was one of those. And, you know, other stuff like... You know, there was like H-Draw, which was like oral turinabol. And I mean, there was even like Tren pro hormones and stuff. I'm not really sure like what pro hormones are out now, but from like 2003 to like 2015 or 2016-ish, pro hormones were pretty big. And pro hormones really kind of meant like designer steroids. So like steroids that were just like not illegal steroids. They were just other steroids that weren't under a law being sold as dietary supplements or pro hormones. But anyways, so he says that, you know, he did some pro hormone stack cycles, which means designer steroids, stack cycles, DMZ, M-Sten, D-Draw, and had extreme strength gains. The strength increases stay long after my cycle, but I'm worried about the tendons not being strong enough to support the muscle. How would you suggest one train for longevity while still having progressive overload? I have a weird deep twinge in my right pectoral. It seems to get tighter, and stretching doesn't cover it. I've had to drop about 50 pounds on pressing movements. Okay, so active recovery is non-negotiable for intermediate advanced athletes. For beginner athletes, you can get away with this thing where you're like, oh, I stretch a little bit and I exercise. But, you know, like if you look at like professional athletes, none of these guys just like go do their sport and like that's it. And they just like keep coming back. They're all doing active recovery. They're all doing like massage, deep tissue work, ice bath, sauna. You know, there are many different things that these guys are doing, you know, and they're doing these regularly. So if you're at like an intermediate advanced athletic level and you're continuing to like not do that, you're going to have problems. And, you know, basically everybody that's been in the gym for a long time, you know, you hear them saying stuff like, oh, I have these old injuries, you know, I've had these injuries for 15, 20 years, stuff like this. Well, most of the guys that are like gym rats and they've been doing it like that, they haven't been doing it like professional athletes. So they haven't been doing the active recovery. And so they have all these freaking injuries that will just like never go away, like for the rest of their life, unless they will start doing active recovery. And a lot of guys that have like injuries too, that they're like, damn, like I like feel like I can't go to the gym anymore or something like that. Like, this is a problem. Okay. And, but this is one of my specialties though. In addition to like hormones and stuff like that, you know, I really know a lot about injuries and helping to fix injuries. I've dealt with this stuff a lot. It's the same thing. I've dealt with it with myself and I've dealt with it with other people. Help myself and help other people get rid of bad long-term injuries that they felt like, you know, maybe they were never going to be the same, which is mostly because I understand that it's soft tissue work. You know, if they, I understand that this is a major source of chronic pain that Western medicine ignores. They don't have any soft tissue work. If you want to go get your muscles worked on, do you go to the doctor in a Western country? I mean, where do you even fucking go? You go to a massage parlor and there's nothing else? Because medicine fucking ignores your problems? They just pretend it doesn't exist? Like, man, so that's the reason why, is because soft tissue produces a lot of injuries and has a lot of problems, and Western medicine ignores it. They focus on structural problems. And so, like, soft tissue manipulation, deep tissue massage, cupping, myofascial release therapy, deep tissue work, like I'm saying, this stuff is non-negotiable. If you're an intermediate or advanced athlete and you have to make it a regular part of your life, a lacrosse ball and a therapy cane are good places to start. There's a good book called The Trigger Point Therapy Manual or Trigger Point Workbook. I forget what this was, one of those names. And that one is really, really good book too for learning about how muscles make your joints get out of place and what muscles to work on in order to fix your joints and stuff like that. So, that's what I advise for you. You know, Coach Dustin obviously needs this. You know, he's having to drop his pressing weights 50 pounds. He's worried about his tendons. So what you've really got to do is you've got to fix these, you know, you've obviously got injuries in your muscles, and tight points and scar tissue, and you've got to break all that shit up. And so that's going to be deep tissue work, you know, where in your chest, where that's hurting you, you got to dig your fingers into that and work it out until it's not bothering you anymore, until it's not sensitive to the touch anymore. I'd definitely get a foam roller too, and some other shit, you know, foam roller, lacrosse ball, Theracane. You got to have this stuff, man. You got to work with it every day. That's like part of it's, if you're a gym goer and you're really serious, then doing this kind of stuff is like brushing your teeth. It's like, you can't get away with not doing it. Okay. Rob Dix asks, hey mate, considering the newish research on Primobolan and Masteron acting as AI CIRM, would you bother running an AI with your high dose test cycles, or would you get more benefits from implementing Masteron in its place? Let me tell you this right now, okay? If you are a normal aromatizing guy and you try to use Masteron or Primobolan as your AI, you are going to get gyno. There's these guys, okay? So from my experience doing this, okay, it's like one out of like maybe seven guys or something like that. He's just not sensitive to estrogen. And he could pretty much take anything without having any estrogen side effects, like hundreds of milligrams of D-ball, thousands of milligrams of testosterone, and there won't be any estrogen side effects. He just doesn't produce aromatase enzyme, or at least not much of it. So about like one out of seven from, I'm guessing, because of my observations from working with people and talking with people and stuff. This is about how often I see this scenario happen. It's like maybe one out of seven guys. So these type of guys are the guys that are, you know, showing their blood work on Masteron or Prima Bolin, and being like, it's an AI. It's an AI. It lowered my estrogen. These guys have no estrogen production in the first place. You know, these are not big estrogen producers. These are guys who are like not taking AI or like barely needing AI at all. And then, you know, you get them taking these things and it's like, okay, for them, it acts like a, you know, Prima Bolin and Masteron acts like an AI. Okay. But for the normal guy, like the average guy, if you try to use Masteron instead of an AI to take care of your gyno, you're going to get lifelong gyno, dude. I'm telling you the practical real world experience here. Okay. Like I actually fell for this too, you know, because like when I first started taking steroids, I read GH15 and everything, you know, like before I started taking steroids. So I was one of those guys that, you know, when I first started taking steroids, I thought I knew everything that there was to know about taking steroids. But, you know, a harsh, harsh reality for me was that when I started taking steroids, I realized that I knew nothing about taking steroids because everything that I had learned, you know, from thousands of hours studying on the internet and everything, you know, it wasn't accurate. And, you know, now I know the way to use steroids that is like the practical application of steroids in your real life and across like large sample sizes of people. And I know like how these things react in the real world, not in science or in your studies or whatever, you know, but how actually things happen, or if you're having problems, how to solve the problem now. Okay. I know about that stuff. So I'm not one of these guys, you know, who's trying to give you something new and big information. These steroids have been around for 100 years, man. Okay. And they've been working and people have been making these crazy physiques for 100 years. Okay. It's not, you know, somebody figures out something new now and you think, I got to go do this. That's not, they've got you. Okay. They got you again. You know, everybody's always looking for this new thing, a stupid pill or a stupid shot or something that's going to make all their dreams come true. Okay. Everything that's already been important to bodybuilding has been done. Okay. And it's already been done more than it needs to be done. Okay. You go look at like Ronnie Coleman, you go look at like, you know, some of these other extreme freaks, modern day bodybuilders competing, and it's too much. Okay. It went overboard. Okay. You don't need any of this new shit. Okay. You need to learn how to know how it's done. That's what you need to focus on learning, is to learn how these motherfuckers have been doing this since the 1960s. That's what you need to be focusing on doing, not what is the new drug that came out. Okay. So, and then the other thing is like, you know, everybody's got these flashy new ways to like use the drugs or whatever, like take it, shoot your testosterone into your fat instead of into your muscles. Okay, great. And then I'm going to walk around with fucking oil balls in my fat for the next month while it doesn't absorb. Okay. That was another one of these things where like use Masteron instead of Arimidex and it works better. Dude, these are like wives' tales, like steroids wives' tales, man. Like you can kind of just tell like when you hear it, it's like, wait a second, that sounds fucking stupid. But it gets you, you know, because there's like this like lore or this like exciting mysteriousness about steroids or whatever. And so it's like, oh, these powerful things. And it's like, has this really cool name, Masteron. So I got to use it. But really, you know, Masteron, what does it do? It makes you get oily skin. It makes you get acne. It makes your sex drive be inappropriate. And it makes your prostate swell up and you got to urinate a lot. Okay. That's mostly what Masteron does. Okay. It doesn't grow muscle. Sorry. You know, I know people hate that. I know they hate that it doesn't grow muscle. And I know you got a lot of people, maybe like people saying, yes, it does. Yes, it does. But no, it doesn't, bro. No, it doesn't. Talk to anyone in real life, okay? Not the internet, okay? In real life, Mastron doesn't grow muscle. Okay, it does on the internet, but it doesn't in the real world. All right. So, kind of talked about AIs, Primable and Mastron. I mean, the rest of that guy's question was kind of like talking like, can I shoot a ratio of Mastron, like 1-to-1 testosterone, and then not take 25 milligrams of Romicin and instead take the same dose of Mastron as testosterone? You can fuck around with that. You can fool around with that. And, you know, maybe it works for you. Maybe it doesn't. Chances are it's not going to work for you, but there is a low probability it will work for you. And also, I'm just going to tell you that, but it's unless you're one of these guys where it, you know, you don't really create the estrogen, it's most likely not going to work for you. And it'd be better if you just use a little bit of Eximistane, a little bit of Remedex. It's a lot easier. Detran asks, why is metformin so underrated and effective? It's like a secret weapon most people do not choose. I can see a drastic change in my physique when I'm on it. It just makes everything look better. Yeah, the reason why is because people are really, again, obsessed with what they think they know about science. So people are like thinking about like IGF-1. Okay, so IGF-1... There's two types of IGF-1. There's intramuscular IGF-1 that is produced by muscle cells inside of them. And then there's systemic IGF-1, which is produced by the liver. And the intramuscular IGF-1 is the type of IGF-1 that has a really large effect on muscle growth, okay? And so anabolic steroids and growth hormone stimulate muscle cells to produce more IGF-1 inside of them, okay? And this is separate from the systemic IGF-1 that is produced by the liver. And growth hormone injections make your liver produce more systemic IGF-1, okay? But growth hormone injections also make your muscle cells produce more IGF-1, okay? The muscle cell actually manufactures the IGF-1 separately than the liver. And also taking anabolic steroids also makes your muscle cells create more IGF-1 inside of them, okay? So as far as metformin goes, is there's this thing about like, okay, well, metformin reduces systemic IGF-1 by like half, you know? It pretty much does that like with like hormones, okay? So like if you're natural and you take metformin, you don't want to do that because it's going to reduce your testosterone by 50%, okay? And pretty much like any, like most hormones get reduced by like 50% in naturals taking metformin. So for them, it is going to be a negative, and I wouldn't take that, okay? But if you're on gear, okay, so like if you're on test or any other kind of gear, okay, you take metformin, it's going to really make it a lot easier for you to cut now. And if you are on gear and growth hormone and you add metformin in, now you're gonna get a lot freakier, okay? You're gonna get a lot freakier, a lot bigger, a lot fuller, a lot angly, a lot more angular, a lot more 3D, it's more of like a freaky compound when combined with growth hormone and steroids. But when it's just with steroids, it's more of like a weight loss agent or so. But the reason it's so underrated is because people talk about things like, oh, well, metformin lowers IGF-1, but, you know, they're always thinking about IGF-1 or talking about IGF-1. It's like, well, you shut the fuck up about IGF-1, man. Like they're always talking about the systemic liver-produced IGF-1 for one thing, okay? And then the other thing is that, like, which is not even important for muscle building, the way that the intramuscular IGF-1 is. And then the other thing is just that when you see anecdotal evidence with your eyes, okay, when you try something and you use it and it fucking works, okay, you have to realize that science doesn't know everything, okay? Science is not God, and they don't know why a lot of the drugs that they make work. And a lot of the drugs that they make, they're just plagiarized from things that they have found in nature, okay? They find these compounds that are very similar in nature, very similar, and a lot of times even superior. And then they're like, yes. And they go into a lab and they make a very tiny alteration to that thing that they found in nature so that now they can put a patent on it. So now they can put a patent on it and drive up high prices and make drugs to sell to you, okay? And that's like the whole thing, these bastards, okay?
But so they're plagiarizing the medicine, okay? I'm kidding. All right. So, anyways, what I want to say is that the reason why people are weird about metformin is because they're weird about IGF-1. And the other thing that they'll hear is another science thing where they go, it turns on the AMPK energy system and it turns off the mTOR anabolic system. Okay. So yeah, it does skew your body's energy system more towards the fat burning system. Yes. Metformin does do that. And it skews it more away from the building glucose anabolic getting bigger system, okay? But if you're taking anabolic steroids and you're doing workouts, okay, intense workouts, you are going to cut through that light mTOR suppression and that light AMPK elevation, okay? You're going to cut through it. And it's going to be an insignificant because of the benefits, like the, you know, the potential benefit of metformin versus the negative of metformin. The benefit is higher than the negative, okay? And so these science things that you may have heard about reasons why not to take metformin and why metformin is bad for bodybuilding. But as D-Tren confirms, which, I mean, I've made a podcast episode called The Most Underrated Steroid, and it was about metformin. And, you know, now you have D-Tren coming on this podcast and confirming that, you know, it's, you know, like the most underrated motherfucker, and it makes such an insane difference in his physique, you know. But then you have all these people on the internet saying, no, don't use it. Don't use it. No, don't use it. And you know what? The truth is that 50% of these fucking people are using it sometimes. Okay. They're all, you know, everybody's lying about what they're using. And it's like, well, why is this? And you got to say, if something is working in real life, it doesn't matter what the science says. Okay. You go by what your eyes tell you, because science doesn't know. Okay. They don't know. They steal a bunch of their ideas for medicines. They took from plants. Okay. They didn't even come up with them themselves. Okay. And they don't know why a lot of their medicines work and stuff. A lot of it is like theory, you know, and like the science, as far as like pharmacology and everything, physiology, it's like evolving. It's evolving. Every year it changes. New things are discovered. So if you just look at some science and it says something and you be like, oh, okay, well, I'm taking that as like the word of God. Okay. Well, that's shortchanging yourself. It's keeping you suppressed. It's not letting you reach your potential. Okay. It's, in my opinion, it's better to look at the science and be informed, but for what's happening and what you're seeing with your own eyes in the real world being the most important factor when it really comes down to it. And it comes down to like making the decisions is like, you know, are you going to believe that piece of paper, or are you going to believe what your eyes are telling you? Okay. And that's the way that I go about it. So that's why I recommend, depending on people's goals, depending on what kind of metabolism people have. Everybody's different, okay? I don't recommend metformin to 100% of people. I definitely don't. And I don't think it's good for 100% of people to take. But I think that it absolutely is a tool in the bodybuilder's arsenal that can help a lot of bodybuilders. Okay. Casey asks, as far as growth hormone goes, what would you say is the minimum effective dose for adding muscle? Also, would you ever advise cutting the dosage while cruising on TRT because HGH and anabolics function better together, for instance, to make the most out of what you have and cut expenses? Yes, I don't think it's a good idea to cruise on growth hormone. I think it's kind of like wasteful or something, because... Okay, yeah, it is going to make it so that, because it decreases nitrogen loss, okay, like growth hormone. So even if you are like cruising on like 2 IUs of like pharmaceutical grade growth hormone and 250 milligrams of testosterone, you know, the 2 IUs of growth hormone is going to make muscle loss not happen as much as it would if you were not taking it and only taking 250 milligrams of testosterone. But you know, the whole point of like the cruise and everything is to like not be on shit. Okay. So there's like this tendency to want to like still be on shit. Okay. Because of course, like a cruising isn't fun. Like if you're a bodybuilder, like your hobby is like building muscle. So, you know, like when you're in the cruising period, okay, now you're on the, like the non-muscle building period. So it's like the not fun period. And it's like the period that you have to go through that's like, oh, okay, well, I just have to put in this work here and not get like a really great benefit or gain from it, right? So that's not as fun, but it's good to weather that and to persevere through that, okay? Because the whole point of the damn cruise is to not be on stuff. Okay, you're taking all this stuff. You know, you got to take, you're a bodybuilder, you got to take all this stuff. But what about all that stuff you got to take? All right? So you sometimes maybe you'll ask yourself like, what is the name of all these damn hormones? And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm taking like five different hormones and like what the fuck are these things names? Like Masteron, Primobolan, Anavar, Stanozolol, Metanolone, and then you're like thinking like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, okay. But that's bodybuilding. That's bodybuilding. So, but you don't. What I'm trying to say here is that, okay, to do bodybuilding, you got to take all this shit, which is an unfortunate reality. So now, when you cruise, you want to get off of the shit, okay? We know that you can't do like a PCT and like go off of steroids totally because that just causes like a meltdown, you know? And so we've got to have like some kind of middle ground. And, you know, taking like one shot per week of 1 milliliter of testosterone or something is like a good way of just, you know, stopping taking all that stuff you take because you're a bodybuilder. And now just take a break. Take a break for a month. Take a break for 2 months. Take a break for 3 months, right? Depends on who you are, how long you're going to take a break, okay? And you know, you can still take a milliliter of testosterone, you know? All that stuff you take because you're a bodybuilder. You can stop taking all that stuff you take, but you still take 1 milliliter of testosterone, right? But now when you start getting into this thing of like, whoa, what drugs can I take? And still be healthy or whatever, and you're kind of like it's messing up the attitude or the mode of this whole thing, which is that you got to know what it's like to be a normal person still. You got to go back to being a normal person still, it's good to like not be taking a bunch of stuff and to take a little rest from this thing that you're doing. You know, this all encompassing hobby that you're doing, right? You can't be going 100% all year long. You just can't. And so if you don't take these kind of like breaks, you will just like not go as hard as you can all the time all year long because you can't. You have to have some times during a year long that are not going to be quite as intense. That's just the way it is. And so you can do this a lot better by like planning it with like a health thing. Okay, so my opinion, don't take the growth hormone during your cruise, save it and take it during your blast and just take more. Whatever you would have been taking during your cruise, just take that and take more or something on your blast, okay? That's what I think is the best way to do it. And I think that you're gonna get a good result like that. You're gonna feel better about it. You're gonna feel cleaner, feel good, more good about your cruises. And also you're gonna have, you know, like not that financial burden of even 2 IUs of growth hormone, you know, it costs a significant, there's a significant cost associated with that. The question is again, okay, I'm just going to tell this story. Okay. One time I was walking my dog. Okay. I was walking my dog in California and like I've told you before, I'm open about the roids, right? So I'm walking and this guy is standing outside of his house, like watering his plants. And he stops me and he says, whoa, you're like really, you know, like muscular. And he said, are you in the military or something? And I was like, no. And then he started asking me more questions. And he's like, do you got to take all that stuff? And I was like, I was like, yeah. And I said, yeah, I take hormones, you know, I take steroids, you know, you can't look like this without that. And when I said that, he got like this facial expression that was like he'd bit a lemon or something, right? And it kind of looked like anything else that I said was like going past his face, like he was in a different dimension or a different dream, a different universe inside of his mind. Once I had said that, you know, I was taking steroids and hormones in order to look like this, right? And the only thing that he could keep on saying after this was, "But you gotta take all that stuff." And he says this like over and over again, right? I stay for like maybe another 5 minutes, and just at like maybe, I don't know, maybe 45 or 60 second intervals or something, he'd say, he's like, "But you gotta take all that stuff." And you know what? He had a point. It's kind of like, what the fuck? To be a bodybuilder, you gotta take all this stuff. And it's not a little bit of this stuff. That's another lie you're gonna hear, is that like, "Oh, you gotta take the stuff, but it's just a little bit of the stuff." No, you got to take all this stuff, dude. It's like that guy said, and it's like, damn, that's not like the most flattering thing. Like, obviously, that's why everybody's trying to be like, "I don't take that much," or "I don't take it," or something. Like, everybody knows that that's like something that they wish it wasn't that way, or it's something that they feel a little weird about, or something like that, right? So don't go making your cruise this thing where you're still taking all that stuff, okay? When you take the cruise, get off the fucking stuff.
All right. So that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.